Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. Doug Whaley joins us right now. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net or text us. 412-928-9370, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Good morning to you, Doug. How's it going?
Doing great. Got a little businessman special later on today here in St. Louis. Going to their ballpark, check them out against the Toronto Blue Jays.
Oh, nice. A little Busch Stadium action. Got to be like mid-90s there right now.
Actually, today it's going to be low 80s with overcast, so perfect businessman special weather.
That's right.
Nice.
So you're not here for the U.S. Open, or are you going to come back and be able to go see some of that this weekend, Doug?
No, I'm going to be posted up in St. Louis all week. It's our UFL Championship week, so I don't get back until Sunday. So I'll get back, land, and then go watch it somewhere. But I'm not going to Oakmont, unfortunately.
Well, Doug, this is when all the eyes nationally are on the city of Pittsburgh, obviously with the U.S. Open at Oakmont, but also now Aaron Rodgers showing up, and of course now no T.J. Watt. Let's start, though, with Aaron Rodgers. Your thoughts now that the deal is done? We haven't talked to you since it became official, and we'll work from there.
Let's get to work. I mean, all that perfunctory things that had to go by, had to happen for him to come to this conclusion are over. Let's have him punch that time clock every time he walks in. And it seems like from just the few interviews I've heard, he's ready to get to work. He's ready to put all this off season behind him and become the Steelers quarterback. It was interesting to hear how he's going to really assimilate himself, not only into the locker room, but into the game planning with Arthur Smith. That was interesting to hear, and just the contrast between how everybody thought about Russell Wilson, and it was more of a team recruiting effort, to this being more about Aaron Rodgers deciding if he wanted to be a Steeler or not. And now that he is, okay, I'm coming in here and this is how it's going to go. So it's going to, and it's interesting because you have two quarterbacks. Now, Aaron Rodgers is definitely way more skilled than Russell Wilson, but they both have won one Super Bowl. So it's just interesting the difference in how they each came to be Steeler quarterback and how they're talking as Steeler quarterbacks.
Doug, did it shock you at all that Aaron Rodgers actually signed for what he said he would play for? He was on the Pat McAfee show, I think, over a month ago, and he said, look, I'd play for $10 million. It's not about the money. And then he signed for basically $10 million in guaranteed money with the Steelers. Did it shock you that he kept that number as low as it was?
It did. I thought he would want to command, especially if this is going to be his last hurrah, at least a compensation commensurate to a low-level starter in the league. And at $10 million, you're looking at a backup salary. But I think when you – everybody says hindsight's 20/20, but when you start dissecting how we got to – how the Steelers and Aaron Rodgers got to him being at OTAs and him saying that, I think that points to his affinity for Coach Tomlin and his respect for the Steeler organization. Now, some people will say, how can he respect the Steelers organization because he didn't make that decision and he held them hostage? And I even said it, he held them hostage until now. Well, – we all know Aaron's a complex person, and he's does things on his own time, and he's very deliberate. And I guess he really had some things to work through. If he had given all indications to Coach Tomlin, Art, and Omar to say, hey, listen, I'll be there, just let me handle some of this stuff, then that's why they were so patient. So some of this is, I think, coming to light after he has signed.
Doug, it doesn't make much sense to me if the Steelers bring Rodgers in and say, hey, here's the offense we're running. It needs to be some sort of collaborative effort. I mean, we saw it yesterday on the video. You saw it at the end of last season. The arm's as good as it's ever been. The release is quick. The accuracy is there. The Jets led the league in drops last season. His adjusted completion percentage, among the best in all of football. But I still think his brain is his best attribute. Getting into the right play, getting out of the wrong play, ball placement, things like that. And I think it would be silly if they brought this guy in and wouldn't let him run the offense the way he sees fit.
I agree, and I think it was silly to bring in a veteran like Russell Wilson. That one thing you can't, no one can ever say about Russell Wilson is he didn't put in the time and he wasn't a worker. So it wasn't like he was the last one in, first one out, like other quarterbacks that have been in at the Steelers facility. So for them not to trust Russell, I think hopefully they learned their lesson. This guy is your really co-offensive coordinator, Aaron Rodgers, and let him do that. Let him be able to go there and put the offensive system into a situation that is going to be best for what Aaron can do right now with his mind, but also with his body being a 41/42-year-old quarterback. And when you have a guy that has seen so much football, let him have some leeway to be able to help you, help him and help you get into that situation where your offense is going to be in the best position to succeed. And I think you got that inference when he was talking yesterday saying, if I see something I like, we're going to put it in.
So maybe this is me, Doug, hoping against hope, and we try to parse through these things being in the media. I think they have much more affinity for Rodgers, or I should say Tomlin does, than they did and he did for Russell Wilson. Russ was pole position, right? It's going to be a competition, mm-hmm. but he's in pole position. Yesterday, it was just, no, Aaron Rodgers is the starting quarterback. There will be no competition. Plus the way that they pursued Aaron Rodgers all offseason long. My hope is that by reading the tea leaves on all that, you can see that they are going to not put the kibosh on him the way that they did with Russ at the end of last year.
Yeah, and that's a great point, the way you pointed it out. Last year, it was a team recruiting effort of Russell Wilson. So it was a lot of the locker room, a lot of the guys on the team saying, hey, Russ, come with us. We got this thing going. We want you. You're a missing piece. And this one was really Mike Tomlin saying, I gave it to you guys last time. This one is going to be on me. We're in a position where Coach Tomlin saying, I'm going to take over this decision, and this is all my decision. I'm going to do all the recruiting. It's going to be between Aaron Rodgers and myself, how we get to this point. They ended up getting here. I know it was a long, arduous process, but in the ends justify the means, and hopefully that in my biggest question now is not, are they going to give him leeway to really control that offense and be the co-offensive coordinator on the field, but can he consistently produce at the age he is? There are going to be some games where you're going to say, this guy is as good as ever, but can he do that for 17, 18 straight weeks and games? So for me, that is the biggest question. When you're at that age and yes, he's 2 years off an Achilles injury, but he is going to be 42 years old, and the consistency mm-hmm. to be able to perform at that high level week in and week out, that is the only question I have for the Steelers and, more importantly, for Aaron Rodgers.
Doug, do you think that the Steelers were honest with Mason whenever he initially signed back that he was going to be the backup quarterback, or do you think that they led him down a path where it's like, oh, you know, you're going to compete and we don't know what we're going to do if we're going to sign another veteran quarterback and you'll have a chance to be the starter? Do you think they were honest with Mason this time around?
I think so, but if they weren't, I think what he agreed to should have told him and let him know that they're just not going to go in with – if they thought he was a legitimate chance to start, they wouldn't be paying him $4 million. Mm-hmm. So I think just reading the tea leaves and understanding the industry, he had to know that they were going to bring someone else in if they didn't tell him face-to-face. So I think between his agent and himself, he's been around the Steelers organization and NFL football enough to know – they're not going to have a guy at $4 million be the only guy in that room.
One last thing on the offense for both of you guys. Rodgers last year in New York was in shotgun like 70% of the time. The Steelers were in shotgun like 58% of the time. People make a big deal about this. Oh, the Steelers are going to have to run a lot more shotgun. I mean, I think you could probably split a difference there, right? I mean, 70%, 58%, maybe you get somewhere in the 60s, everyone's happy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Is it that big of a deal?
I think you ask Aaron Rodgers. And this is where, again, listening and you start dissecting what he is saying. I'm going to get with Arthur Smith and go through this offense with a fine-tooth comb and see what I like and what I don't like or what's not in there that I like, and I'm going to add it. So whatever Aaron Rodgers feels most comfortable with, you'll start seeing it. If that's an even split under center, 50-50 in shotgun, or if it's 60-40, whatever, I do believe it's going to be what Aaron feels most comfortable. And why not? I mean, the guy has earned the right to be able to say, this is where I'm comfortable. And if you're a smart coach, that's what you want to do. You want to make sure the guy that is leading the team at the most important position on your team and in sports is comfortable, and he's earned that right.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Much more with Doug Whaley on the way. He joins us until 10 o'clock every single Wednesday. And Doug, you're the perfect guy to talk to about T.J. Watt, who is not holding in this time around. He's holding out. How would you deal with him if you were the Steelers general manager? That's next. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville, our home away from home. Doug Whaley joins us until 10 o'clock as he does every Wednesday. And Doug, you're the perfect guy to talk to about the T.J. Watt situation. Last time around 4 years ago, TJ did the hold-in thing, showed up to mandatory minicamp. He spoke to the media on that first day. Then he went to training camp and did the same stuff, working out on the sideline, no contract. Eventually, it got done, and the Steelers made him one of the highest-paid players in all of football. He's going about it differently this time around, and there are people out there that are trying to poo-poo this, the Steelers themselves trying to poo-poo this, but the fact that he's going about it a different way, to me, Doug, signifies that there's probably some hurt feelings here. Do you agree?
I think so. But I also agree that those hurt feelings will get cured real quickly when they meet the number that he's requesting. I know it's a different way to go about it. But if I was Omar, I wouldn't be upset about it. I wouldn't read too much into it. He's going about it a different way. That's fine. In the end, as long as everybody has that same narrative to say, we want to get this thing done and there's a feeling it will get done, and it will be. The Steelers are notorious for taking their time and being deliberate with these things. TJ knows that that's how they do business. Is he trying to exert some extra pressure or the pressure that he can on the organization? Yes, and that's his right. But in the end, when you're in this business, you take the personal feelings out of it and know it's just business, especially when we know they're going to make this thing happen. And it's just a matter of time. My question, and I was listening to you guys earlier, to Doran Dickerson. Doran, everybody's saying, well, he should be a leader and come in and just be around the team and do a sit-in. Is his leadership of showing, hey, if I feel like the owners come out and said, I want to be a one-helmet guy. I want this guy to be one-helmet guy. I've told them I want to be one-helmet guy. Is it leadership to the rest of the locker room saying, I'm holding out to get what I deserve? Or is it lack of leadership of him not being there? As a fellow athlete, what do you think? And I'll tell you what I think.
Well, personally, as an athlete, if I was T.J. Watt's teammate or still playing, I would have no problem with what he's doing. No problem. I mean, get your money, you know, and if I was his teammate, especially because I would see how hard he worked every day and I could see that he's one of the best defensive players in the league year in and year out, I would have absolutely no problem what he's doing right now. But obviously, I'm not an athlete anymore and I'm on the other side of it. I think that him being there gives off a good perception because of the whole Aaron Rodgers situation. With Aaron Rodgers showing up and all the hoopla, and I was hearing all this stuff out there that, you know, Aaron Rodgers this, Aaron Rodgers that, and Aaron Rodgers there the first day. Like, I would like to see T.J. Watt be there at least. He doesn't have to practice, but be there at least the first day of minicamp.
Mm-hmm. And for me, and I think one of the things that you pointed out is why everybody in that locker room and everybody in that building at 300 South Water Street isn't worried, because he's the ultimate professional. He's going to come in shape. He's going to come in ready to play if he was holding in or holding out. And he knows the defense. And from a GM standpoint, I'm saying, well, now guess what? I can give those younger guys really good look and have them ready to try to be as productive as possible when they step on the field when it comes to time at Latrobe. So I know it's part of the business. If I was Omar Khan, I wouldn't read too much into it. The people in the locker room that really depend on T.J. Watt aren't reading into it. Hey, this is part of the what we sign up for as NFL professionals. As, like you said, on the other side, it's something we can talk about. But in my opinion, and Doran, you just said it, it has no effect on that locker room or on that team building of this offseason. He's getting his money, and that's what – and everybody I've ever talked to that's a professional athlete, you don't try to count someone else's money in their wallet. Let him do what he's got to do, because in the end, he's going to set the standard for you, because you may be coming next year or the year after that. And that's how those guys think. So, yes, it's something we can talk about, but it's a non-issue in that locker room or that building.
But, Doug, you said it earlier just a couple minutes ago that the Steelers have done this, and this is the process that they've always been doing, and they're deliberate with these things. Don't you think that the Steelers need to change their ways a little bit? Do you think that it's the Steelers' fault that it's this situation right now and not getting ahead of the game, not getting ahead of Myles Garrett, not getting ahead of Max Crosby, and paying T.J. Watt first and showing that, you know, we do want you to be a one-helmet guy?
Oh, I totally agree. And they have evolved in the way they do business a lot of ways. But this is one of the ways that they're still dragging their feet and saying, hey, we're going to be very deliberate in how we go about this contract negotiations. And in the end, I guess they're okay saying, with our deliberate nature, we're going to end up paying more instead of being proactive and aggressive and getting this thing done before Myles Garrett or right after the season, so that TJ could be here and there would be one less thing that they have to hear us in the media talk about. So yeah, that is something they haven't evolved.
It's so goofy to me. TJ Watt at the end of the year said he wanted to retire a Steeler. Art Rooney II said he wants him to be a one helmet guy, and yet it's not going to get done until like midway through training camp or at the end of training camp. It's just very bizarre to me. Doug, has a holdout ever affected negotiations?
No. I mean, it's one of those things. What affects a negotiation more than anything is a concrete deadline. And that's why you see all these prominent Steeler players get their contracts done right before that concrete deadline of the opening of the regular season, because the Steelers won't negotiate during the season. Deadlines are the things that either get deals done or crush deals more than anything else.
So just judging by your tone, you wouldn't be fining T.J. Watt if you were in the upper management position.
I would not, and especially if we're the reasons why he's holding out and we're just dragging our feet. Now, if it's a contentious negotiation and they're asking for something that is just absurd, then that's when you're like, okay, hold on. Let's take a step back. You guys are not really negotiating in good faith, and you're not trying to negotiate a situation where we both walk away from the table saying, all right, that's a good deal. So you just don't know that. But in my opinion, you set the market by saying he is a one helmet guy. He's going to be a Steeler for life. So just get the deal done. We know, I mean, he's the best player at his position for a long time. You can argue that Miles Garrett, Parsons better, whatever. He's in the conversation. And I'm done saying this person in sports is the best. My question now, is he in the conversation? Because you can nitpick and say this and that. He's in the conversation, and no one can say he's not as one of the best defensive players in the league now, but also one of the best defensive players of the Steelers organization ever. So just get it done.
Right, and when you are in the conversation, it doesn't matter if you're the best. If you're in the conversation and you're next up to get paid, you're getting more than the other guy. What up, Dak Prescott? Last thing here for you on this, Doug. You had said early in the offseason you would have considered trading T.J. Watt. If they were going to do that, would the time to do that have already passed? Because that's my thought on it, too. Like, all it takes is one, but everyone, all these GMs, all these capologists, they have planned what the outlook for the season is going to be, mostly by this point in the offseason. And for the Steelers to sign an extension, you're going to lower your cap hit this year, and you're going to gain cap space. But if somebody else is taking him on, you're going to have to pay him for this year. And I feel like you would have had to do the planning for that earlier.
No doubt about it. And the way you, if you're going in with Aaron Rodgers, then you're stacking that defense to go with Aaron Rodgers. So that plan, they weren't considering that before. And when you talk about how they can construct this contract for T.J. Watt, a lot of people say, well, lower his cap hit this year. Yeah, you could do that. But if they're going to have so much cap space next year, why don't you throw a ton of money in that next year? Have them $60 million guaranteed next year. And then you can say, oh, for your two-year average, you're making more guaranteed money than Miles Garrett. So you're getting paid more in 2 years. Now, maybe over the life of the contract you're not, but we are making you the highest paid defensive lineman for the next 2 years. And then after that, there's ways to manipulate it so he can feel like he's getting taken care of and put in that conversation of one of the best defensive ends in the NFL and getting paid as such. But you can dump a lot of that. So the structure of it, they can play around with it to make him happy, but the total money and the total guarantee may be less. But for the first 2 years, and then that gives the team, the Steelers, flexibility at year three to see, is he still producing at that high level? Okay, then we can renegotiate. If he's not, then we have this contract structure that's not going to be killing us, and he's not going to be eating up such an enormous percentage of the cap at an age of whatever he's going to be 2 years from now.
Doug Whaley with us until 10 o'clock. We're live at Bowser Chevrolet Studio B out here in Monroeville. Aaron Rodgers compared a current Steeler to a former Packer, and something I discovered moments ago made my head explode. We'll get to that and a lot more with Doug Whaley coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Aaron Rodgers compared Darnell Washington to Mercedes Lewis. He played with Mercedes Lewis in Green Bay, obviously, and Mercedes Lewis, a giant man. Pretty good pass catcher, great blocker. Well, as I went back to look at some Mercedes Lewis numbers with Aaron Rodgers, it hit me because the statistics were right there that Mercedes Lewis played in the NFL last year.
Yep.
I had no idea.
Yep.
I thought he retired a decade ago. He is 40 years old.
Yep.
He played in 17 games last season.
That is correct.
That is insane to me, Doran.
Absolutely.
A tight end to play at 40? I mean, good for you, man.
Yep. Yep. Still rolling.
Had no clue.
He was with the Bears.
He was with the Bears. Yeah. I was thinking during the break that I was going to make some sort of bet with you. Like, oh, I bet you can't name which team he played for last year. And I'm happy I didn't do that. You're the tight end whisperer.
Right.
Did you know that Mercedes Lewis played in the league last year, Doug? There's no way.
I did not. Hey, you want to talk about Iron Man, especially at that position? Good for him.
That is insane to me, but anyhow, we move on. So the Steelers have about $18 million in cap space. If and when they sign T.J. Watt, they'll actually gain a little bit more cap space. We know that they like to keep about $10 million as they go into the season in case of emergency to break glass and all that fun jazz. But they've definitely got enough now because of what Rodgers is making to go out and get a wide receiver number two. And, Doug, it sounds like they've been all in and looking for that guy. There was the Chris Godwin. They apparently were one of the final four or five teams in on him. I reported a couple of weeks ago that they had checked in on Chris Olave, Alan Lazard picking up some steam because they got Aaron Rodgers. Do you think they wind up getting one, Doug? And if so, what kind of archetype are you looking for? What kind of player do you think they need to round out this offense?
I mean, I think they may get one, but is it going to be someone that we're all going to be excited to say, let's keep him for another three or four, let's tie him up and have him along with DK Metcalf for the next 3 or 4 years to help your not only Aaron Rodgers this year, but maybe your rookie quarterback next year? I think in this stage of the game in the NFL calendar, it's going to be hard unless you give up some assets to get someone that we're all going to be like, yeah, they solidified that position and they have the guy that they need for years to come. What it will be is somebody either on the downside of his their career, an older guy like a Keenan Allen, or a guy that's trying to reclaim where they were in the past, like a Gabe Davis. So that's what you're looking at now, unless somebody comes available, but you're going to have to, like I said, give up some type of draft capital or some type of asset of a player-to-player trade. So I'm looking at it more of, okay, this has got to be something where Aaron Rodgers is going to have to make up the slack for not having a true number two. If they get a true number two, though, it's got to be somebody that has a different skill set from DK Metcalf. Yeah. And that's where a lot of people say a Gabe Davis is very similar. I would say at least he can make that big play. His consistency is not there. That's the knock on him. But I would look for somebody that can really perform that route tree with precise routes and can get open in many different situations and doesn't have to be schemed to get open, but can get open against man, has a feel against zone, and gives you something different than the big play DK Metcalf type.
Would you trade T.J. Watt for Terry McLaurin?
I would not. Again, like I said, if they hadn't signed Aaron Rodgers, I would have been more apt to think about that. But now, just go all in. You're going all in with Aaron Rodgers. You have a guy that's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer in the conversation of the best skill set, quarterback skill set of all time. This is his last go around, maybe one more year. So put everything around him and see where they can go and make a run.
Damn it, Doug. Do you have any idea what you just did? I'm not asking you to be disingenuous or lie on the radio, but Doran asked me that question. It's a purely hypothetical yesterday. And I said, oh, yeah, I'd absolutely do it. You help out your young rookie quarterback next year. You help out Rodgers this year. If you had said yes, you would do that. You'd be the lead. You'd be the lead on every show today.
Yep.
You could have had 93.7 The Fan, the machine going, man.
Hey, I don't mind being the lead. And my lead is, though, I would have traded him and Crosby 2 years ago. And that's when I was the lead, because that's when you would have got the most for it, and that's when you could have put your position. If they would have traded Crosby and TJ 2 years ago, both franchises would have been closer to winning a championship than they are today. Put that as the lead.
Doug Whaley coming back strong. All right. There are two players that really, one on offense, one on defense, both young, but one not that young anymore, that I think are the biggest keys really to this season. If you take quarterback out of the equation, these guys are the biggest keys. Who are they? We'll tell you coming up next. One more segment to go from Bowser, our Studio B, out here at Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville. I'm going to try to say it right once today. We're at Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville. One more with Doug Whaley coming back. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Route 19 in Peters Township. Joe Burrow
asked if the Trey Hendrickson holdout is a distraction. His answer, of course it is. But I guess it's not a distraction with the Steelers when TJ Watt's not going to be there.
Interesting.
Also, Jim Harbaugh said the doctors have found nothing wrong with him at 61 years old. He says he's 61 years young. Meanwhile, he had a heart ablation and a hip replacement this offseason.
Recovery. Great recovery.
They didn't find anything wrong. I mean, there was just something with my heart and my hip. I just got to get a damn brand new hip, and my heart got burned. But other than that, everything's fine. Other than these two big-time procedures, I am A-OK. Doug Whaley joining us here for one more segment. We are at Studio B, Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville. Broderick Jones has lost 25 pounds. He's now charged with protecting the blind side of a 41-year-young quarterback. And Derek Harmon, it was said yesterday, he's already a starter on the defensive line from day one. Obviously, Rodgers is the straw that stirs this whole drink this season, guys. And there are good other examples, too. But these two dudes, they're going to go a long way into determining just how far the Steelers can go this season. They gave up 299 rushing yards to the Ravens, so they draft Derek Harmon to try to fight that. And they move on from Dan Moore Jr., who's a very rich man now, and Broderick Jones steps in there. If those guys play well, I think they can have a pretty nice season. What do you guys think? I should have picked
I
one
think
of you.
So.
Doug, you go.
All right. No, I think so. I think one of the things you're doing, especially on the defensive side, is infusing youth into that defensive line, and it's well needed. And I think Derek Harmon is a prototypical 3-4 defensive end. And when I saw him when I was doing him for draft evaluation, it was a no-brainer. The only thing that was the question is, would he fall to the Steelers? And he is a typical Steeler defensive lineman, defensive end. Get somebody in there now, so when Cam starts to fall off from his production, you have the young guy to overtake it. My big question, though, is the tackle. Can he consistently play? We've seen flashes. Everybody's going to say, well, with him shedding the pound, that's showing his dedication. But for me, he needed to have that dedication from day one. And are we going to have a roller coaster ride with him as a player at left tackle like we've had with him throughout his Steeler career? But the only saving grace that I think that we can think of as a positive is when he came out of Georgia, he only played 8 games. So really, this is his fourth, fifth year of starting as a tackle, and now he's moving back to his natural position at left. So maybe this is that thing that helps propel him to reach the level of productivity that they thought he could have when they traded up to get him in the first round.
Doug, how do you think Darius Slay is going to be this year?
Again, another elderly gentleman, a seasoned vet that I think he will start off strong. I just wonder, can he sustain that for those 17 games, 18 weeks, and maybe even and longer than that? So I would look to see, are they going to try to spell him or give him some ability to take days off during the practice week to make sure he can perform at his highest level throughout the entirety of the season.
Doug, you're the man. Appreciate you being on with us today, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Are you guys hitting the open or what?
Damn right.
Oh, yeah, we'll be there.
All right. Enjoy, fellas. We'll see you next week.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, we're big cheeses. Of course we're going to be there.
Of course.
People invite us to cool things.
Absolutely.
I didn't go the last time it was here because nobody liked me.
Right.
Now people don't like me, but I have some say.
You're popular.
Right.
You're popular.
I am popular, but unliked.
Yes.
Big show coming up tomorrow. It's going to be a big day on the fan today, obviously, because Dan Muse, Penguins head coach, going to speak for the first time to the media. That's coming up at 10, so there'll be stuff to react to there. Arthur Smith going to talk today, which is going to be big. Because I find Arthur's media availabilities to be really honest. So we're going to hear how he views this whole Aaron Rodgers situation. And then the U.S. Open tomorrow, 6:45 a.m. tee off, baby. Pat Bostic's going to be on with us. So we're excited to do it with you again tomorrow at 5:40. Thanks to Bowser Chevrolet Monroeville for hosting us today at Studio B. Dorm, talk to you tomorrow at 5:40.
Yes, sir.
Harry, wonderful show. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 80.
Plexico Burris, low of 56. Lamar Woodley, clear skies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Risk is the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. This Pride Month, Risk will be featuring the stories of LGBTQ folks from all walks of life. Go get Risk on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.